Absolutely, it's one of our first things. Image control.
Say, because I assume that the work group is no longer continuing.
We are ready.
We're going to open the Senate Committee on Education. Today is April 21st. And with that, we have a fairly large agenda of bills that we're going to go through fairly quickly. Starting with, we're going to open a work session on JR18. That was a short explanation, and I won't take action.
Chair Revlin, members of the committee, SJR 18 proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution directing the Legislative Assembly to establish an education support fund consisting of revenues from a proposed sales tax. This bill has no prior subsequent referral, no amendments at this time. A fiscal impact has been issued and a revenue statement has been issued. Further analysis is required. As such, we will likely need to move this to finance and revenue.
Finance and revenue. Okay. So with that, Senator Hess.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Joint Resolution 18 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue.
Senator Hess moves Senate Joint Resolution 18 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. Is there any discussion?
Chair Roblin, we're looking at all kinds of tax reform ideas down there. In fact, this will come at a great place timing-wise because this will fall into the mix of options that we're looking at, not necessarily moving on, but looking at as ways that we can make the most volatile tax code in the country less volatile. And this is one way of doing that, and I commend Senator Beyer's work.
I agree. Senator Beyer.
Chair Roblin, I'm going to support this. I would have preferred that it go from the Education Committee with a do-pass recommendation, but I understand.
Senator.
Yeah, my main problem with this is kind of the same old we've asked the people before. There was another tax, sales tax proposal for health care that was circulating for a couple sessions and could never get traction that I think might be something that the people might be more interested in. Personally, I'd just soon not muddy the water.
And one of the, yes, Senator Beshear.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. So I'll be voting a no today, so I flag it and make sure that I pay attention to it in finance.
Senator Canoe.
Thanks. I'm voting no because I want Senator Bearchigger to watch out for this bill. Actually, in 1993, we had a sales tax measure that came out. I believe it was referred out of the legislature, and that's sort of where I started my political career, is opposing that. So I did make some amendments to this that made it a spending limit. So if I'll probably just pass those along to the good chair of finance and revenue for him to take a look at that as well.
Okay. And I didn't get a chance to check on whether or not, because a statement was made that we don't think we've ever voted on one of these that was dedicated directly to education. We're not sure on 92 whether there was a part that said it was. You're pretty sure. Okay. Yes, Senator.
To that point, Chair Roblin, there has never been one that's been proposed, I believe, as a constitutional amendment. Okay. There's never been one that's been proposed exclusively for support of education. There's never been one that had an exclusive constitutional cap on it.
Okay. So we'll investigate, and if I find different, I'll put anything on the record. So thank you.
Chair, not to disagree with Senator Beyer, but the proposal that Senator Morris and I had was in the Constitution and didn't have a limit on it.
Didn't get out, though.
Without recommendation.
Without recommendation, yeah. Is there any other discussion? I think this one will take a roll call vote.
It just might.
Senator Sugar?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Yelser?
Yes.
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Vice Chair Knope?
No.
And Chair Roblin?
Yes. The motion passes. It's on its way. Thank you very much.
Everybody benefits from public education.
We will now close the work session on Senate SJR 18. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 709. And we'll have a little explanation of what's going on here.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 709 modifies provisions to allow students who are not residents of the school district to attend school of the school district. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the Dash 2 amendments at this time. A minimal fiscal impact has been issued, and the Dash 2 amendments have no revenue impact.
And a little statement so people know what this is. This has to do with the way we do transfers and the number of different ways that we can do that. It does not affect open enrollment. That will have to be dealt with next session. It does include stuff that will work with some in small cases of students who are in going to school in a particular school district for the entire duration of the school system, charter school, and then they could actually have an opportunity. I think there's some ways to do it to stay in their in the school district they've always thought is home, but they are limited. Senator Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Morgan sent a list of everything that's in here. I'm happy to remind you all of it or trust that you've all read the bill. It's up to all of you. But I did want to make a point on Senate Bill 955, which is in here. The bill gives districts the ability to give preference to students who have attended charter schools in their district. It does not require them to. And so what I just wanted to put on the record is that we had students come here because Sherwood School District told them that they could not give them preference because the legislature had passed a law that made that difficult, that it required a legislative solution. We are providing the legislative solution, and my hope is that Sherwood will follow through since they suggested that the families get a bill. They got a bill and allow these kids to attend high school. It's now completely in Sherwood's court.
Any other discussion? Anybody interested? Okay. With that, we already opened it. No further discussion. Is there anybody opposed? Oh, wait. I haven't made the motion. Thank you. Sorry. Got to have a motion first. So,
Chair Albon, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments as presented.
Senator Knope moves to the Dash 2 amendments as the Dash 2 amendments. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Is there any opposition to the Dash 2 amendments? So note for the record that Senator Baertsugar is opposed to the amendment. Amendments pass. Senator Knope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 709 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves the Senate Bill 709 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? We'll note for the record, Senator Baertsugar is no. With that, the bill passes. Thank you. We'll close the work session on 709. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 860. So with that, we'll have a short explanation by the
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 860 directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to select the University of Oregon or Oregon State University to design and develop a career advising and mentorship pilot program. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the Dash 1 amendments. A fiscal impact has been issued. Further analysis is required. This bill will need to go to Ways and Means, and there is no revenue impact for the Dash 1.
Okay. So, Senator Knopf.
Do you want the Dash 1s?
Yeah.
Okay. Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented.
So Senator Knope moves the Dash 1 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion? Any opposition to the Dash 1s? Seeing none, they are adopted. Senator Knope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 860 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 860 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved, and we will close our work session on Senate Bill 860. And we'll open a work session on, am I going in the right order? Yeah. Senate Bill 895. will have a short explanation of
Chair
895.
Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 895 requires schools and children's facilities to make available certain information related to immunizations. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the Dash 5 amendments at this time. A fiscal impact has been issued, and further analysis will be required in Ways and Means. There is no revenue impact for the Dash 5 amendments.
So, Senator Hass.
Chair Roblin, I move the Dash 5s to Senate Bill 860.
Senator Hass moves the adopt the Dash 5 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion on the Dash 5s? So that people understand, this is actually the, if you look at it, it's some of the amended bill from 84 that we had a few. No, that's not the one, is it? Okay,
vaccine bill.
Oh, this is the vaccine bill. Why was I going to think? Thank you. This is my vaccine bill, or the vaccine bill. And it, when it came back, it had a cost of over $50,000. That's why it is going to Ways and Means. So with that, is there any discussion of the amendments? Seeing none. Any opposition to the amendments? Seeing none. It is adopted.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 895 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 895 as amended to the floor with an, to the due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. What the amendments did, just to make sure, since I got that messed up, that it basically makes it only a obligation of school districts to give out the information. Does not affect change any of the other current rules that we have for immunization. So, Senator Canoe.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. I kind of feel like this should go to the Healthcare Committee, because I think there are a lot of issues surrounding the information that is already available that we're essentially requiring schools to push out to parents. And in a lot of ways, I think that can be misleading, because I don't think it creates the whole picture. And so I'm going to vote no on this, because I think it should either stay in this committee or head to the Healthcare Committee. So, but I do appreciate the Dash 5 amendments, because I think it clarifies other issues that I think we're going to be of even greater concern.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion on this? Seeing none, is there anybody? Well, let's take a roll call vote on this one.
Senator Bertsugger?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Gelser?
Yes.
Senator Hass?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Vice Chair
Canoe?
No.
And Chair Roblin?
Yes. The bill passes, and it's on its way to Ways and Means. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 895. And we will open a work session on Senate Bill 957.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 957 prohibits the State Board of Education from establishing certain standards for instructional time unless the funding for K-12 public education totals an amount determined to be sufficient by the Quality Education Commission. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. There are no amendments at this time. A fiscal statement has been issued. It is indeterminate, and the bill has no revenue impact.
And we are going to send this bill to rules, because we believe it has some other issues. So, Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 957 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
So, Senator Canoe moves Senate Bill 957 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any further discussion?
Sir, yes. Roblin, I just have to comment that if the argument is about funding our schools, I'm on the team that says we're not doing enough for longer school years and dealing with crowded classrooms. But I don't believe putting in arbitrary numbers and tying them to a common denominator that may or may not be relevant today or 10 years from now is good policy, whether it happens to be with education or corrections. So I'm going to be a no on this measure.
Okay. Any other conversation, discussion? Senator.
I kind of agree with Senator Hass to a degree on this. I think I would have preferred, just so we can continue the discussion, that the bill was being sent without recommendation, so it's an open question still.
I'm willing to consider that. Senator Canope, do you wish to change that?
Well, if you're going to put pressure on me, sure. So, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 957 to the floor without recommendation. That's awesome. I'm not sure we've done that before.
We just did it.
Okay.
We did it in Judish earlier today.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. To finish that motion, to the floor without recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
So, I will take this motion into consideration. Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 957 to the floor without recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion about that? Any opposition?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to say I look forward to working on this bill in the Rules Committee to make it a better bill and get it out to the floor.
Okay. I think we should probably do a roll call vote. Or let's go to this. Is there any opposition to this bill going this way? There is one opposition. For the record, Senator Haas is opposed. With that, the bill passes, and we will send it to Rules. Thank you very much. Okay. So now we're on to Senate Bill 80. So we're going to close that work session, 957, open a work session on Senate Bill 80.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, as introduced, Senate Bill 80 clarifies that governing boards of universities with governing boards are included in the list of entities that must continue to provide and improve upon effective articulation and transfer framework for students in Oregon's post-secondary sectors. However, we're awaiting some substantial amendments to this bill. A fiscal statement has been issued for their analysis as required. Senate Bill 80 as introduced has no revenue impact.
No. Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 80 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue.
Oh, okay.
So, Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 80 without recommendation to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. Is there any discussion? I'm just very pleased that it will go to a place where they will look closely at all of the parts of this that have to do with indebtedness of the university system and the responsibility of the state. So we entrust our revenue committee to go through that. The thing that's nice is that our current revenue chair used to be the education chair, which makes me even happier with the other part of the bill. So any other discussion on Senate Bill 80?
Mr. Chair,
yep.
We've been working. This is really a cleanup bill that is so technical. The last 4 years, we have major changes in the higher education system. And now things like, you know, the Board of Higher Education doesn't exist. Chancellor's Office doesn't exist. There's about 50 statutes having to do with bonding in just this bill alone that need technical changes. And my hat's off to Dan Gilbert and the LC crew for trying to think of all of these, finding all of these little hidden pieces of cotton in the ORSs to deal with this, and it's just taken a little bit longer time. But I'm familiar with this bill. I was there 4 years ago, and we started this, and so this is just one of those cleanups that continues.
Any further discussion? Any opposition to this motion? Seeing none, so moved. It's on its way to Finance and Revenue, and thank you. And with that, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 80. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 560. I have a short explanation.
418.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 560 establishes timelines by which evaluations must be completed to determine eligibility for special education, and I believe
Senator Gelser has a statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also wanted to thank my staff for describing this bill as not dying, but being put to sleep gently. That was the nicest description of a dead bill I'd ever heard. So as we put Senate Bill 560 to sleep gently, Morgan and Chuck have agreed to participate in the interim on a work group to figure out how to phase this in a way that works for districts and also ensures that kids are getting evaluated faster and getting the services they need when they need them, rather than waiting half a year or longer. And that's it. And the same thing happened with the similar bills on the House side. So we'll loop all those conversations into one sleepy discussion.
Okay. So we're not going to open a work session. Did I already open? I did. So I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 560, and it will gently go to sleep.
I hadn't heard that term there before.
So now we will move to Senate Bill 702. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 702, and we'll have a short explanation.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 702 specifies that the aggregate total of hours worked by a part-time faculty member at more than one public institution of higher education shall be considered in determination of full-time status of the faculty member for health care coverage. We are considering the Dash 1 amendments at this time. A fiscal statement has been issued. The bill has no revenue impact.
Okay. So with that, Senator Haas.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 1s on Senate Bill 702.
Senator Haas moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion? Any opposition to the Dash 1s?
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 702 as amended to the floor with a due pass and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Haas moves Senate Bill 702 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any up? Oh, thank you, Senator Cano.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. The fiscal is quite large on this. We're talking $20 to $40 billion a biennium or more, and that's just universities. That doesn't include community colleges, so I'm pretty significant. So until we fund K through 12 and others, I'm going to be a no vote and would encourage everyone else to be a no vote too, but I understand that you want this in Ways and Means, so I just can't put it there.
If you remember, this is the he exaggerated the number.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
When Senator Knopf speaks, I believe.
Yeah.
That was very authoritative, billion, but I think I actually meant million. So.
Is there any? We've already done an amendment. Is there? Did we adopt them as we're doing now? So, is there any more discussion about the Dash 1 amendments? Seeing none. Any opposition to the Dash 1s? I did hear one. Is that a, no?
We already did the ones.
We did the ones?
We're
okay.
On the main bill now.
I just got confused there. Thank you very much. So we're on the main bill. No more discussion. Is there? We'll have a roll call vote on Senate Bill 702.
Senator Baird-Sugar?
No.
Yes.
Senator Gelser?
Yes.
Senator Haas?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Vice Chair Knope?
Nope.
And Chair Roper?
Yes. And it passes and it's on its way to Ways and Means. I'm going to move the agenda to 718.
No,
418. 418, sorry. So we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 418. And with that, I'll have a short explanation. This one has changed a bit.
It has. As introduced, Senate Bill 418 directs the State Board of Education to adopt specified standards related to student education records. However, we are considering the Dash 6 amendments at this time. A fiscal statement has been issued for the Dash 6 amendments. Further analysis is required with a recommendation that this bill go to Ways and Means, and there's no revenue impact for the Dash 6 amendments.
So, with that,
Hilbert is here.
With that, we'll introduce, I call Senator Haas.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments as presented.
Senator Haas moves the Dash 6 amendments. Senator Haas moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion about those? Hopefully people look this over. This is what was, as I said earlier, Senate Bill 84. So, no discussion. Any opposition to the amendments? Seeing none. So approved. Senator Hass.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 418 as amended to the floor with the do pass and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 418 to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Senator Cano.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So when I introduced Senate Bill 418, I had no idea that it would become three different vehicles. So Senate Bill 418 was about student privacy, and that was taken care of on a vote today in Senate Bill 187 on the Senate floor because the student privacy records was dealt with in the Attorney General's bill, which is, you know, that's a great bill. And then we're not going to deal with the Walden University issue this session, and so that was the second life of this bill. And now its third life is with Senator Hass, and I'm happy to provide him with a vehicle for high school credits and that whole issue. And so I would welcome him to sign on because it's really lonely right now with just me on the bill. So you are welcome to join me on that.
Senator Hass.
Thank you. I appreciate the indulgence of the committee to move this. After a miscommunication last week, this is the version of Senate Bill 84 with the dash 5 amendments. And really what this bill is the culmination of the 18 months of a task force led by Dr. Golden, Republican and Democratic legislators, Bruce Starr, myself, John Huffman, Lou Frederick, some business leaders, educators, including the respected principal of Lincoln High School, Peyton Chapman. And what everybody did was they got together, made some concessions from community colleges to universities to K-12, the education community, parent-teacher groups. And if this could be summarized in one sentence, it is to give poor kids the ability to obtain college credits while they're in high school. And I hate to put it in basic terms like that, but that's really what it is. Oregon does a decent job with dual credits. But they tend to go to kids whose parents are motivated, they're motivated, they get encouragement from their parents, they have money for fees, and somewhere middle class on down, those opportunities don't exist in the form that they should. And this bill just says, well, we're recognizing that and we're making those opportunities available. And the reason we're doing that is because the research says that any time a college credit is given to a high school student, almost always good things come from it. They're more likely to continue on to post-secondary education at a community college, training, or a four-year university. And so that's what we're trying to do there. We are sending it to Ways and Means. There is an appropriation here, as I was reminded a few weeks ago by an astute student from Corvallis, that sometimes if you want to make money, you got to spend money. And so these things are expensive, but they're far cheaper at this stage than they are down the road. And when one of these students comes out of Beaverton or Corvallis or Coos Bay or Marshfield with 10 or 12 credits in the bank, that saves that student and those families thousands and thousands of dollars in tuition at a community college or a university. So that's the goal here. That's what we're trying to achieve. And this won't solve all the world's problems. It won't eradicate poverty. It won't solve world hunger. But it's one very important step in the right direction when it comes to education.
Any further discussion on Senate Bill 418? Okay. We've done that bill, so and we accepted the dash sixes, so we're on the bill. Is there any opposition to Senate Bill 418 as amended? Seeing none, the bill passes and it's on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you very much. Now we'll get back. Oh, and for the record, I want to acknowledge that the carrier for Senate Bill 709.
Yes, please.
Will be Senator Gelser. I kept thinking all of these were going other places, so I missed that. So with that, we'll open we close the work session on 418. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 702.
We already did it.
Didn't mark it off. Thank you for keeping track of me. We're going to open a work session on 709.
Are you
doing? 819.
Why don't you try?
I'm really happy that we passed. I'm really happy that we passed the dyslexia bill. I had gotten more help when I was younger. I would have less problems today. So,
Thank you. Let's try 819.
Okay, we're going to open open Senate Bill 819. I think I got that right. Thank you.
You did.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 819 modifies percentage of amount school districts must pay from the state school fund to public charter schools that are not virtual public charter schools. We are considering the Dash 4 amendments at this time. A fiscal statement has been issued. Further analysis is required. And a revenue impact has been issued. Further analysis is also required. I do believe I have some information.
Oh, and we do have some information with regard to constitutionality, which was an issue. And we have... some statements that have been issued, and we'll get those out before we take any actions. It turns out they finally got it.
Lawyers get really
yes, they do. Okay. And we'll also have a summary of the Dash 4 amendments.
Sure, yeah, just because this has gone through several iterations. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, the Dash 4 amendments specify that modifications to payments apply to contracts entered into or renewed by the sponsor and public charter school prior to, on, or after the effective date of the act. It also requires the Secretary of State to conduct an examination of public charter schools in Oregon. It specifies what that examination must include. It allows the Secretary of State to enter into a contract with an organization in order to undertake this examination, and appropriates $55,000 for the purposes of conducting this examination. It requires the Secretary of State to report back to the Legislative Committee in 2017.
Okay. Is there any, well, so I'll say, Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments as presented.
Senator Canope moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments as presented, and they are included in the Dash 1s. That's why that the statement works. So, any discussion? Yes, Senator Kelser.
So the way that this would work is that we change the amount that's given, but the Secretary of State will then evaluate
and see if that's all appropriate and come back to us. Yep. If it gets through the rest of the process. Any further discussion?
We're on the amendment, right?
We're on the amendment. Any opposition to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Senator Canope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 819 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Canope moves the Senate Bill 819 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. So there will be a lot of conversations in Ways and Means about this bill. It's just what it is. Any discussion? Yes.
Yes, thank you. And first, a clarifying question. The Dash 1 is incorporated in the Dash 4?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I really appreciated the testimony on this bill. I think the families and students did a fantastic job, and I'm really happy that people have found education options that work really well for them. I still have some trouble with the bill, not based on the testimony, but just as a school board member, the elementary schools and the middle and high schools in my district didn't necessarily get this percentage of the state school fund to operate their schools within their districts because the money doesn't necessarily follow each individual student. And my concern is that we could end up with the reverse problem of what's been described, that we'll still have disparities within districts, and where we might be funding more at a charter school and less at a local elementary school. I know that there was testimony about how frustrating it is to raise money for pencils and paper and classroom activities that seem like they should be covered. And I think that's a reflection of the challenge that we have adequately funding our schools. I know as a parent, I participated in multiple fundraisers. I'm emceeing an auction this Friday for a local elementary school so that they can pay for music and PE and books and pencils. And that's not a charter school. That's just my local elementary school. So I'm going to be a no, because I believe that the law already allows the negotiation between the district and the charter for a higher reimbursement rate. It would already be allowed under current law. And finally, I'm concerned that increasing the required amount could make it more difficult to establish a new charter school within a district, because a school may see that it may be easier for them to demonstrate that it's a financial liability to the district to be able to do that. So I worry a little bit about that unintended consequence. So I just wanted to put those comments on the record, because I was so impressed with the testimony, especially the kids that came. And it's frustrating to work really hard on something and not get all the votes, but that is why I landed where I have today.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Any other discussion? And this was on?
819.
Was that the amendment? We already done that. Okay. So is there any more discussion? Is there any more opposition? Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to vote to move this on the Ways and Means, but I do share some of Senator Geltzer's reservations. And now, wait to see what comes to the floor.
Okay. That's fair. Any further discussion? Let's take a roll call vote just so we know where we're at.
Sugar?
Yes.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Geltzer?
No.
Senator Haas?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Vice Chair Knope?
Aye.
And Chair Roblin?
Aye. Moves to the Senate. I mean, to the Ways and Means. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 819. We will open a
820.
Work session on Senate Bill 820.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 820 allows public charter schools to give priority to students who are from historically underserved student groups. This bill has no prior subsequent referral. We are considering the -5 amendments at this time. The bill has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
And we have another statement from our attorneys. We had a conversation before about whether this was constitutional, and so we will be handing out the statement on the -5 amendments.
Thank you.
And I'll say for the record, I want to appreciate what Senator Geltzer brought up at the last one to make sure that we did get this to the constitutional place. And it really had to do with what the definition was around underserved populations, and the federal government is pretty clear on that, and so we went back and got amendments that clarified it in a way that our attorneys believe is constitutional.
Chair Roblin, I move to adopt the -5 amendments as presented.
Senator Knope moves to adopt the -5 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion on the -5? Seeing none, they are approved. Senator Knope.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 820 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 820 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Geltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I first wanted to thank the proponents for working on the definition, both to make it constitutional and for adding students with disabilities to that definition of the term historically underserved. I am, however, still going to be a no. I have significant reservations about making enrollment decisions based on the individual characteristics of students. We've worked very hard through our open enrollment process and our interdistrict transfer process to make sure that we aren't limiting movement from between districts based on those individual characteristics of students. I also think there's a different way to get around this. I understand the goal of making sure that historically underserved kids are able to access a charter school, but I think the better way to do that is to improve the outreach and the assistance to individuals in filling out the applications. Because already, without that enhancement, you're still having a narrowed group of kids that bring with them some privilege and extra level of support from families that have been able to reach out and find that support. So to truly get those kids that are struggling that wouldn't naturally apply to participate in that lottery, just giving them an extra weight doesn't pull additional people in, and I think that's the better way to go.
Any other discussion? I would say that I would encourage any charter school that decides that this is an important thing for them, that they do exactly what Senator Gelser just said, because I do think outreach makes a difference as well, and it could keep it. I do believe that when you set up a charter school and you're wanting to serve a group of population and you start being very successful, sometimes for the exact reasons you mentioned, the charter school changes its makeup, and that I think this is one way of doing that which can be helpful. So, any further discussion on our Senate bill? Seeing none. Any opposition? Well, let's go vote. A roast. Roll call vote.
Senator Barrett-Sugar?
Yes.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Gelser?
No.
Senator Hatz?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Vice Chair Knope?
Aye.
And Chair Roland?
Aye. So, would you like to carry this bill? Okay. Senator Cruz is going to carry the bill. So with that, we will, it is approved. I guess I'm doing that first. And now I will close the Senate, the work session on Senate Bill 820 and open a work session on Senate Bill 950.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 950 appropriates money for the biennium beginning July 1st, 2015 to the Higher Education in Coordinating Commission for Oregon State University Operation of Center for Manufacturing and Design of Advanced Wood Products. We are considering the Dash 1 amendments at this time. This bill does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The bill does have a fiscal impact, and the bill has no revenue impact.
Okay. Senator Knope.
Chair Roblin, I move the Dash 1 amendments as presented.
Senator Knope moves the Dash 1 amendments as presented. Is there any discussion?
None.
Seeing none. Any opposition?
Nope.
Seeing none, Dash 1s are adopted.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 950 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 950 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition?
No.
Seeing none, the bill is adopted and sent to Ways and Means. And we will close our work session on Senate Bill 950. I want to say...
One just ran out of bills, I think.
I think we got them all right. Okay. I want to thank the committee for taking rapid action on a whole lot of bills and for helping me help myself to overcome a miscommunication that I had with Senator Hass to get that, and I appreciate that bill being unanimous. So with that, we will adjourn.
Thank you. So I actually have time.